As you're seated, if you'll take out your Bible and turn to Genesis chapter 30. We'll start in verse 25 of chapter 30 and read through verse 16 of chapter 31. In this narrative, this rolling narrative, there aren't any great breaks in the narrative. So where we stopped last week, where we're stopping this week, in so many ways it's artificial. The narrative itself spans last week, this week, next week, which is just way too much to try to move through in a sermon. So we are artificially breaking the story up just to try to make it so it's in more reasonable portions. So tonight we start at verse 25. Remember last week, the whole debacle of the two wives, all of the children with now four wives, and it's been a mess, and that's where we pick up tonight. As soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, "Send me away, that I may go to my own home and country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, that I may go, for you know the service that I have given you." But Laban said to him, "If I have found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages, and I will give it." Jacob said to him, "You yourself know how I have served you and how your livestock has fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turn. But now when shall I provide for my own household also?" He said, "What shall I give you?" Jacob said, "You shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pass through all your flock today, removing from it every speckled and spotted sheep and every black lamb, and the spotted and speckled among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So my honesty will answer for me later when you come to look into my wages with you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and black among the lambs, if found with me, shall be counted stolen." Laban said, "Good, let it be as you have said." But that day Laban removed the male goats that were striped and spotted, and all the female goats that were speckled and spotted, every one that had white on it, and every lamb that was black, and put them in the charge of his sons. And he set a distance of 3 days' journey between himself and Jacob pastured the rest of Laban's flock. Then Jacob took fresh sticks of poplar and almond and plane trees and peeled white streaks in them, exposing the white of the sticks. He set the sticks that he had peeled in front of the flocks in the troughs, that is, the watering places where the flocks came to drink. And since they bred where they came to drink, the flocks bred in front of the sticks, and so the flocks brought forth striped, speckled, and spotted. And Jacob separated the lambs and set the faces of the flocks toward the striped and all the black in the front in the flock of Laban. Put his own droves apart and did not put them with Laban's flock. Whenever the stronger of the flock were breeding, Jacob would lay the sticks in the troughs before the eyes of the flock that they might breed among the sticks. But for the feebler of the flock, he would not lay them there. So the feebler would be Laban's and the stronger Jacob's. Thus the man increased greatly and had large flocks, female servants and male servants and camels and donkeys. Now Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, "Jacob has taken all that was our father's, and from what was our father's he has gained all this wealth." And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. Then the Lord said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you." So Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah into the field where his flock was and said to them, "I see that your father does not regard me with the favor as he did before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know that I have served your father with all my strength, yet your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. But God did not permit him to harm me. If he said, the spotted shall be your wages, then all the flock bore spotted. And if he said, the striped shall be your wages, then all the flock bore striped. Thus God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. In the breeding season of the flock, I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream that the goats that mated with the flock were striped, spotted, and molted. Then the angel of God said to me in the dream, Jacob. And I said, here I am. And he said, lift up your eyes and see. All the goats that mate with the flock are striped, spotted, and molted, for I have seen all that Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel, where you anointed a pillar and made a vow to me. Now arise, go out from this land and return to the land of your kindred. Then Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there any portion or inheritance left to us in our father's house? Are we not regarded by him as foreigners? For he has sold us, and he has indeed devoured our money. All the wealth that God has taken away from our father belongs to us and to our children. Now then, whatever God has said to you, do. So we're continuing our way through the time in the life of Jacob as he's in Paddan Aram, serving in the house of Laban. If you remember, he has agreed to work for 7 years for, at first he thought, the hand of Rachel. Instead, he was given Leah. So he worked 7 years for Leah, but he also arranged that he would work an additional 7 years for Rachel. It appears at this point in the story that those 14 years are up. He has two wives, actually four wives, and 11 sons later, Jacob wants to leave. He wants to return to his home. And that's where we pick up the story tonight. By the end of our story tonight, the end of our text tonight, Jacob will still be in the home of Laban. And what we'll find is that more drama awaits, that this is an exodus that's going to take some time. He's on his way out. And tonight we want to look at our text with 2 points. The first, bartering and blessing. And then second, greed, genetics, and God. So bartering and blessing. And then second, greed, genetics, and God. First, bartering and blessing. Verse 25, soon as Rachel had borne Joseph, Jacob said to Laban, send me away. And this begins 6 back and forth between Jacob and Laban. In verses 25 and 26, Jacob is making his, it's not really a request. He's not asking. He's given an imperative, given a command. There is no niceties about this. There is no please. There's no courtesy extended. Jacob is coming to Laban and saying, send me away, that I may go to my own home and country. I want to go to my place and my land, is what he says. And if you remember, Jacob has land. He has a place. He's the son of promise. He has been told that the land in Canaan is his. And so what he's saying to Laban is, let me go. This isn't my home. This isn't my land, but I do have land. I do have a home. In verses 27 and 28, Laban gives his reply. If I found favor in your sight. So no courtesy is extended by Jacob, but Laban is going to lay it on thick. If I found favor in your sight, normally the lesser would say that to the greater. In this case, the greater is saying it to the lesser. Laban is the power here. He is the one that has control. He's the one that has wealth. He's the one that is in charge. But he is demonstrating a level of courtesy here by showing deference to the one that doesn't need to be shown deference. If I found favor in your sight, I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Laban is going to practice a little of syncretism here. He's going to speak of the covenant God's blessing at the same time that he's going to speak about the fact that he is using divination to discover this reality. He goes on to say, name your wages, and I will give it. Jacob's response, verse 29 and 30, you yourself know how I have served you and how your livestock has fared with me. For you had little before I came, and it has increased abundantly, and the Lord has blessed you wherever I turned. But now, when shall I provide for my own household also? We have a little breakdown in communication. Laban has clearly set before Jacob a question. What's your wage? What's your price? You are my good luck charm, and I don't want you to leave. What's it going to take to have you stay? And Jacob doesn't answer the question. So Laban replies, what shall I give you? Laban's just circling back. I asked a question, I didn't get an answer. Let's try it again. Name your price. And Jacob replies, you shall not give me anything. If you will do this for me, I will again pasture your flock and keep it. Let me pasture all your flock today, removing from it. And then he goes through the whole routine. I want the speckled and spotted and striped of the goats, and I'll take any that are not white. Now, when I was a kid, there was a TV show, Let's Make a Deal. Some of you probably remember this. The only reason why, I actually didn't like the show that much. I only remember it because when I got to college and I ran track, our track coach sometimes would design some workouts that, I worried about the sanity of our coach. And so when he designed workouts like those, when he would show up for practice, we would say, well, if it isn't Monty Hall, coach, let's make a deal. Now, we never really came out great in those situations, but it felt good to at least attempt to work our way towards some sort of resolution with regard to the pain that was coming. Jacob and Laban are engaging in deal making, bartering. They're doing a little Monty Hall. See, in the course of this conversation, there are some key words that come into play. Lots of words are spoken, but when you clear it away, when you get rid of all the clutter, there are really two main concepts that come out. There are the phrases that we talked about last week, wages, service, serve. But the most important word is blessed. Both parties recognize that God has been at work in this completely dysfunctional situation and relationship. God has still been blessing Jacob and, as a ripple, Laban. Now, this shouldn't be a surprise to us because this has been the storyline for an awfully long time for us. Remember, this began back in Genesis chapter 12. Verse 2, and I will make of you, God speaking to Abraham, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now we know that the ultimate fulfillment of that promise is Jesus Christ. But note in verse 2, I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Abraham was to be a blessing. There's an immediate fulfillment of this and a long-term fulfillment of this. And that same promise is going to be made to Isaac, and that same promise is once again going to be made to Jacob. And what we see here in chapter, well, really the 14 years that he's been here, God is fulfilling this promise. God is blessing Jacob. And as an extension, Laban is cashing in on the blessing that is overflowing from what God has been giving to Jacob. This is something that we're going to see later on as we continue in the book of Genesis, that God's blessing on Joseph will extend to Potiphar's house. On an earthly level, this principle still operates. The righteous are a blessing to those that surround them. Over and over again, you'll see in the book of Proverbs this truth stated, that the righteous are a blessing to the greater community, to the city. As Christians, we are to be a blessing to those that surround us. We're salt, we're light. We should have a sanctifying effect on the world that we encounter. I've told this story before, but more when I was in the classroom and I was walking the halls of the school, I would do a little bit of recruiting of the student body to go out for track. Never really went that well. I don't even know why I did it. But there were people in the school that I would deliberately recruit that I knew physically gave me nothing. And they would say to me, "Coach, why do you want me out for track? I can't jump, I can't throw, and I can't run," which is a deadly trifecta for track and field. Today, if I was still teaching, I would need to affirm them. But back then, you could just be honest. And I would say to him, "You're absolutely right. I don't want you on the team for your athleticism. I want you on my team because you'll make my team a better team. I want who you are on my team. I don't want what you give me. Physically, I want who you are. My team needs you. They need your personality. They need your leadership. They need your character." And there's a sense that God has placed you in arenas of life where those that are around you need you. Need you to be a blessing because of what God is doing in and through you. You're blessed to be a blessing. Your sanctification should make the community of which you're part of glad. Now, unfortunately, Laban didn't appreciate the blessing. He just wanted to utilize and use the blessing, which is really bringing us to our second point. Greed, genetics, and God. At the end of the day, Laban just wants to take advantage of Jacob. He doesn't care about Jacob. He doesn't have Jacob's best interest at heart. He's selfish. He's greedy. He's just saying, hey, I don't know what's going on. I'm going to use some divination, but I can tell that Jacob equals my success. So I want him here. And so that's why in this dialogue that we just read, he keeps pushing, doesn't he? What's it going to take? What's it going to take? What do I need to give you? What's your wage? Name your price. Because I think Laban realizes it doesn't matter what Jacob says, that God is going to always outbless Jacob. And so whatever Laban has to give away, he's going to get back. And so the deal that Jacob makes, it's absolutely horrendous. Jacob's not good at the bartering game. What he's asking for are all the rare things. Goats are typically black or dark brown, and the sheep are white. The speckled, the spotted, the stripes are kind of the oddity, the anomaly. And Jacob's saying, I'll take that. The black sheep is the anomaly. And Jacob's saying, and I'll take that. Laban is ecstatic about this deal. Verse 34, the English says, good. It's actually the Hebrew, hene, behold, you're kidding me. Okay, let's sign. Laban couldn't be more excited about this deal. Let it be as you have said. The construction of that sentence is as emphatic as it could be. Laban is drooling. He has concluded, Jacob might be blessed, but he is a fool. So the flock is separated. Jacob takes all that Jacob wants 3 days away. And then Jacob engages in this weird deal. The branches, the watering troughs. The practice is actually known as maternal impression process. The common belief that a vivid sight during conception or pregnancy will leave its mark on the offspring. All the branches and watering troughs, shenanigans, sheep will give birth to young that have the color of the sticks. Nope. I mean, Jacob believes it. There's nothing to it, but Jacob believes it. And goes through all of these manipulations. But it's all for naught. We read in chapter 31 who's controlling this, don't we? But God did not permit him to harm me. If he said the spotted shall be your wages, then all the flock bore spotted. And if he said the striped shall be your wages, then all the flock bore striped. Thus God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. Genetics? Goofy popular sticks? No. God? Absolutely. In verse 43 of chapter 30, we have the conclusion after all of the messing around. Thus the man increased greatly. Literally says, the man increased very, very. How's that for good writing? And had large flocks, female servants, male servants, and camels and donkeys. Jacob has become wealthy. And the sons of Laban and Laban himself are not happy. That's how chapter 31 opens. Now Jacob heard that the sons of Laban were saying, Jacob has taken all that was our father's. And from what was our father's, he has gained all this wealth. And Jacob saw that Laban did not regard him with favor as before. Laban's no longer feeling great about his lucky charm. And it's into this moment that the Lord speaks. Verse 3. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your kindred, and I will be with you. If you keep your finger here and just turn back a couple chapters to chapter 28. If you remember, chapter 28 is Jacob on the run. He's done all his deceit. He's lied to his dad multiple times over, wronged everybody involved. He's on the run. He's sleeping for the night. And as he's asleep, the Lord comes. And the Lord makes this declaration starting in verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it, or stood above him, and said, I am the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give to you and to your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. God is coming back to Jacob in chapter 31 and reasserting this promise. And in some ways declaring to Jacob, I have kept my word. I've made you a blessing. Your land is still there. I've watched over you. I've cared for you. I've protected you. And the promise is ongoing. And I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. And as a result of that declaration, again by God in chapter 31, Jacob calls a family meeting. Rachel, Leah come out, and Jacob is going to go through all of this. Verse 5, I see that your father does not regard me with favor as he did before, but the God of my father has been with me. You know what just happened here? God has come back into the text. He hasn't been in the text in chapter 29 and 30. He's given this monumental promise in chapter 28. And now God is back in the scene. God is back saying, Jacob, are you ready again to listen? You've been doing your own thing for a long time. But the God of my father has been with me. You're seeing a spiritual awakening in Jacob. He goes on, you know that I've served your father with all my strength. Your father has cheated me and changed my wages 10 times. But God. But God kept his promise. He didn't permit him to harm me. If he said the spotted shall be your wages and all the flock were spotted. And if he said the striped shall be your wages and all the flock bore striped. Thus God has taken away the livestock of your father and given them to me. I love this story. You've got two absolutely crooked, conniving foxes going at each other for 14 years. Can you imagine living in this? Always trying to connive the other person. This is how they've lived. And God is up in heaven smiling, saying, oh, how ridiculous. What do they think they're going to do? I've worked it all out. I've made a promise to Jacob, and I'm going to bring it to fruition. I brought him here so that he might acquire that which I've set out to do, which is to make him into the nation that I want him to be. I'm going to give him wealth. I'm going to do it not because I'm going to cheat and connive, and neither am I going to allow Jacob to cheat and connive. I'm going to do it because I'm in charge. I control the sheep. I control the goats. I control what is going to belong to Jacob and what's not going to belong to Jacob. It's all under my care. And God is saying here, it has been under my care. And now for the first time, Jacob is saying, I get it. God really is in charge. I can really trust him. He is actually acting on my behalf and fulfilling his word. Not bad. It only took 14 years. Some of us have been on that same journey, haven't we? Maybe not 14 years. Maybe some of you longer. I don't know. But God works on us, doesn't he? And says, okay, I've got things that I want to accomplish in your life. And I'm going to keep working. The promise to Jacob is the same promise that God has made to us, that he will be with us. And God is with us, molding and shaping and developing within us a sense of dependent trust. I mean, think about the story. Even tonight, Jacob at points is still thinking he's in control. Just need a little bit more bark. But it doesn't take long before Jacob comes to the realization, I don't think it was that. It was God. And in life, it can be hard, right? My wife and I often talk about this, that when your kids are pretty small, you deceive yourself and think that you're actually in charge. That you have some level of control. But two things happen as your kids get older. You begin to realize, I don't actually have control. And I never did. They were always God's. They were always under his care. And he was going to accomplish his purposes through our children that he had determined. But boy, we do a lot of trickery with bark, don't we, along the way? Trying to jockey and manipulate and move. I think God is also in heaven smiling at us and saying, I've got a suggestion. What about trust? What about dependence? What about submission? And I guess I really like this story because you see God's wearing Jacob down. I mean, Jacob's always Jacob, but there's less of Jacob. And hopefully the same is true for us. Less Jacob. More faith, more trust, more a realization that God is with us, that he's directing us, that he's bringing us home. Next week, we'll continue this Exodus journey and we'll see, once again, some drama and missteps, but movement. Movement in the right direction. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reality of your word. We thank you that you lay before us the struggles and blemishes and faults of saints of old, but that you also, in those stories, weave your grace and your mercy that you have shown to them, the promises that you have made and kept. And you give us glimpses of your sanctifying work in the hearts of your people. Father, give us spirits of dependence and submission to you, that we can look back on the affairs of our life, the details of our life, and say that God was with us. That God was governing over the circumstances of my moments and was doing all things well. Father, we ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.